Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host, Chris Allen. How you doing? Good morning. It's Saturday morning. I had a stupid busy week. Stupid busy. I need to stop this trend of doing my podcast late, man. I have to. No matter how late it is, I just got to get it done. I got to get it done in on time. I got to be more consistent. So, again, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. last week was a good week, man. I got some new shows that I've been hosting, which is cool. But it kind of sucks, man. Kind of sucks not really knowing a whole lot of beat people in town. So the turnouts haven't been great, but they've been good. They've been good, but not great. So I'm hoping that it's because this time of year, where I live at, I live around two colleges. So a lot of kids are doing like finals and stuff right now. So they're not really going out. But there's no excuse. There's other people that live around here who are not in college. All right. So I got to find a way to connect with the people in Charlottesville and Harrisonburg. And I don't live in Harrisonburg, so that's going to be really tough. I'm going to need a lot of local help. So I need to find out who to get in touch with to help me advertise that show. But I have fun at all the shows, man. Every once in a while, there's always somebody that gets like too out of hand and got to get kicked out, man. And the only reason I'm going to talk shit about this person is because I know they are absolutely insane. They probably don't even use a computer, don't have a computer, don't have a smartphone. This kid, Sterling, he went to high school with TJ Ferguson, another comic, and then he ended up going to prison for 10 years for beating somebody up. Like, I don't know how bad you got to beat somebody up to get 10 years in prison, but he did. And this dude is absolutely insane. He's 30 years old, and he can still do a backflip. And he's never had any, like, formal training at all. So when I first met him, I was like, okay, this dude just did a backflip off of a banister that's 5 feet off the ground. There's definitely something wrong with this dude. He can do a split. This motherfucker can, what else? He can annoy the shit out of people. So, he likes to give stand-up a shot from time to time, which he should never do. Because he's just crazy. But, so this dude, he shows me a lot of love, and I appreciate it, but he's so all over the place. So this dude just comes to the show, he won't shut up the entire time. He's got him and his homeboy with him. And even before the show starts, they talk about how they don't have money. But in crazy people fashion, this dude still decides to order drinks. So him and his boy run up a $30 tab. And then when it's time to pay, he gives the bartender literally a piece of raggedy paper. And was like, yo, this is my auntie credit card number. Just punch these numbers in. And they're like, for real, man? Yeah. They're like, look, just give us a card. So he gives them a card. It still has the sticker on it. He's like, yeah, I'm getting $10,000 tomorrow to go buy a studio. So I'm going to have money. And I'm just like, ugh. So it just, he loses his shit. He starts yelling while the show is going on. Me and TJ have to calm this dude down. And it's just like, I don't really want to get too involved because he obviously doesn't give a fuck about himself. So I know he doesn't care about me at all. So it's just like, I'm trying to help, but I'm also trying not to get murdered in the process. And y'all know I just had surgery. My right arm is like literally at like 20%. So it's like, I can't even properly defend myself at this time. And I'm definitely not about to fight some ex-con MMA fighter who's obviously high and drunk off some shit. And I got to give a shout out to my boy Winston Hodges, man. He's a young comic out here. He's really making a lot of strides. And I had to have him stretch while he was up because, like, all this is going on. Everybody in the audience is, like, terrified. Like, what the fuck is going on with this dude? So we finally get him out. And he leaves, man. It's just, you know, you try to put on a good show. And it's always, like, that one crazy-ass person that just decides to try to make everything about them. And if you were there, I apologize for that craziness. But that's comedy. So we did another show at this place called the Double Horseshoe Saloon, and I had another young comic come out, and his first time we did very, very well, and I guess he expected comedy to be like that every time, so he's up performing, and there's a lot of comics in the audience, and not a whole lot of audience members, like, you know, just quote unquote civilians, so. He's up there, and he's not really getting any laughs at all. People are just kind of looking at him because it's a lot of comics. And it's just funny to see a new comic. It's funny to see, like, that confidence just, like, slowly leave their body as their jokes don't do well. And it's to see this dude just have this breakdown, a slow breakdown after every joke doesn't go well. It was like Office Space. You remember the guy who was like, "I'm good with people, damn it." It was kind of like that. But just in slow increments, it's like with every joke, you just saw the confidence and his will to want to even live just slowly leave his body. And I know it's mean, but it was just kind of funny, so I just didn't light him. So actually watching him struggle was actually made it funny. And I know that sounds mean, but in the long run, man, that'll just make that dude a better comic. But shout out to him, man, for having a breakdown over. And the thing is, he really wasn't even doing bad. It was just a lot of comics, and most comics just don't laugh at shit. So, shout out to him. Hopefully he still comes back, man. But that was hilarious, man, to just watch him slowly just lose confidence in all the jokes that he thought were killer. And it was like, "I've done these in comedy clubs." It's like, dude, relax. You're literally three shows into your comedy career. You don't know anything yet, man. I don't know anything yet, but you definitely don't know shit. So that's how comedy here has been going. I have a show tonight at this place called Fellini's. So I'm hoping that goes better than some of the shows we had this week. But it's all been fun. It's all part of the journey. And I'm willing to accept the challenge to make these shows even bigger and more successful. So that's what's been going on with me. But this week I wanted to talk about just the shit that's going on, like all these people, man, with this anti-Muslim sentiment, man. I understand frustration, you know. I understand people being fearful. You know, people want somewhere where they can safely raise their kids and not have to worry, you know, too much about just some crazy shit happening. I mean, as a parent, you understand there's going to be, you know, falls, you know, scrapes, bumps and bruises, you know, maybe an occasional dog bite, you know, but having that fear of, you know, dropping your kids off at a mall or your child goes to college and you have someone come in and do something horrific. That's something no one anywhere should have to worry about. But that's like a reality for a lot of people in other parts of the world, you know. Their kids are walking to school or getting on the bus somewhere and you have some religious or political extremists, I mean, just blow themselves up. I mean, that's how some people live on a day-to-day basis, you know, and they learn to accept it. But that's something that's so new. Especially for white America, you know? That's a new feeling for white Americans. Actually, you know what? Well, I wasn't around for World War II, but I'm pretty sure with them putting all Asian Americans in camps, you know, there was fear of Asian Americans, but I don't. But I think this is a new type of fear, I guess. For they feel like anyone, it could almost be anyone at any given time, you know. So I just you would think, with all this going on, people would go, you know what? Now I'm starting to understand where my minorities have been coming from for years, you know. The fear from black people back in the day, afraid of, you know, being outside at a certain time of night in the South back in the day, or just being out and about, having to worry about being, you know, terrorized by hate groups like the KKK or skinheads or whatever other organization, or just random groups of racist teenagers or people, when they were pretty much just allowed to do whatever they wanted to because you were black. But that doesn't seem to be the case at all. It's just like people, it's almost like no one's learning anything with all this kind of stuff going on. And I was talking to my sister the other day. I'm sorry, this is going to be more serious right now. And I was talking to my sister yesterday. And this is what really scares me about everything that's going on as far as what we're dealing with in the world and terrorism and just how people are being treated. What really scares me the most is that, let me step back a little bit. Now, back in the day, black people were treated horribly in this country. Back in the day, we were treated horribly. And white people, for the most part, lived a pretty good life. I mean, at the expense of us. I mean, they fucking lived it up. A lot of horrible shit was done and no one cared. I mean, they had a lot of fun on our dime. Let's be honest. I'm just looking at the history books here. When you go back and look at it, it's just like, man, I can't believe people actually did this and didn't even think twice about it. They really lived it up. So now you fast forward to present times, and we have all the racial issues that we do because of those times. And I understand people get upset and they're like, well, I had nothing to do with that. Why am I, you know, being accused and being held responsible for things that happened in the past? And this is one thing that really bothers me, that people feel like the world we live in, the time we live in, it has to be looked at in a vacuum. And it's just like, that's not how the world works, you know? What happened in the past does affect the present, no matter how bad you don't want it to. That's how things work. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. You can't expect that the actions of your ancestors not affect the things that happen today. I mean, it molds our society. I feel like it really shouldn't mold it as much, but it does. And the reason is why is because no one really wants to address it because they feel like it's not their fault. And I get it. But the thing is, at the end of the day, someone has to pay the bill. And I'm not saying white people need to pay, but we need to fix it. It has to be everybody. At some point in time, it needs to get done. It needs to get fixed. Someone needs to pay. It needs to be all of. We need to step up and address this shit. They made the mess, but we have to clean it up. We have to. They had a good old time back in the day, man. They ran up a nice bill and they fucking left it on the table. And here we are. We have to, man. I know it might suck for some people. I know people probably roll their eyes, or they feel like, well, if the offended party or the party that was affected just got over it, then it would be over. It's like you can't run up a bill at a like those dudes at the place, at my show. They drank and had a good old time, knowing they had no intention on paying. And they're like, well, if the bar owner and the bartender just got over it, then it's squashed. It's just like, okay, but you need to pay this bill. I'm willing to talk about it. I have a lot of white friends that are willing to talk about it, but the majority aren't. The majority aren't. That's why we have this problem. 9/11 was horrible. Horrible. But unfortunately, our forefathers, they made a lot of bad political decisions back in the 60s and 70s, going over there, getting involved, because we didn't like the Russians, going over there, really helping groups of people that we had no intention on following through with. That's one thing, and we love throwing guns in the hands of people that are fighting other people we don't like without fully looking at the other group. We gave the Taliban weapons. A lot of those dudes that were in power that we tried to take down recently, we helped them at some point in time. All the shit we did, that is the reason why 9/11 happened. And none of us made those policies. There were over 3,000 people on 9/11, 2001. 2001 that paid the price for some assholes back in 1960s and 70s. For those guys' decisions. People paid for that shit. And then countless other Americans paid for that shit by going over there and fighting in Afghanistan and Iraq. I applaud the military for doing what we did. I think we went over there and we did a lot of good things. I support them 100%. It's just like, I wish people would stop trying to look at things, like I said, in a vacuum and just think, well, that incident happened, so that should just be left to that and it affects nothing else. It's like, no. That's not how anything on this planet works. It's not. You eat too much, you get fat. Drink too much, you ruin your liver. You smoke, you get cancer. It's just, that's how everything works, and it applies to life, man. And people don't want it to. That's such a childish thing. That's such a childish thing to even think that we could just live our lives and think, well, okay, well, I'm alive. Nothing else really, you know, what I do is not going to affect anything else. And I think that's what makes, we have to be even more responsible because, yeah, what we do affects the now, but it really has a huge impact on the future. A huge impact on the future. Huge impact. And people just, they don't think it does, or they just really don't care. They just really don't care. But I'm slowly getting to my point that I want to make. It's just so much anti-Muslim sentiment in this country. And the shit that people are saying is horrific. A lot of bigoted people out there. Now, if you're one of those people, you're probably not, first of all, you're probably not listening to my podcast. But just imagine if one of your black friends were saying the same exact things that you were saying on Facebook, but instead of Muslim, they were saying white. Or if you're black, if one of your white friends were saying the same thing, but instead of Muslims, they were saying black people. Remember when the whole Confederate flag thing was going on and you had people saying it's about heritage, it's not about hate. It's about heritage, not hate. But yet, I see that Confederate flag on more white supremacist pictures, KKK rallies, more than anything. To me, that symbol is synonymous with racism and hate. To me, it's synonymous with hate without a doubt. But yet, those people, they want you to take the time out and go, is this person hateful? Or is it really just about being from the South and they like guns and they like, you know, Southern culture? So where are all these people at right now trying to, you know, why aren't these people stepping up and going, hey, man, not all Muslim people are bad. So, yeah, they might kind of look the same with the beards and the way they dress, but that doesn't mean they're all terrorists. Just a few months ago, you wanted people to not judge you based on that shit, even though the overwhelming majority of images that have a Confederate flag in it have something to do with hate. Why aren't you defending Muslim people? Where you at, Heritage Not Hate People? Why don't you extend the same courtesy to others that you want to extend it to you? Why not take that time out and go, hey, you know what? Yeah, this dude might stereotypically look like he could be a terrorist, but that doesn't mean it. Their religion is about their heritage, it's not about hate. Extend that same courtesy to Islam. Why not do that? People, you wanted people to do it for you. And here's my biggest fear is, like 9/11 was awful. It was a terrible tragedy, you know. But it wasn't. We needed comfort. We needed people to tell us it was going to be all right. You know, we just needed the world to go, hey, man, that was fucked up. We feel for you. That's what we needed. We didn't really need help from people. You know what I mean? It wasn't like they needed to send aid and they needed people, troops to come protect us. It wasn't to that point. We needed a lot of emotional support at the time. But what scares me is one day when some shit happens here that's so bad, where we're going to actually need help. Because it's going to happen at some point in time, whether it's 5 years, 10 years, it could even be 200 years down the road, that America is going to need we're going to need for real help. Have you ever had that shit happen in your life where you don't really get along with somebody or they don't like you or something, and then one day they actually need your help, either whether it's financially or they need a ride to the airport? We've all been there where it's just like, oh God, I'm backed in the corner. I have no other person to ask but this person, and we do not get along. You know that feeling where you know you fucked up? And that's my fear, that sometime in the future, that one day, that America is going to truly need the help of the Muslim world. And they won't, because they're going to look back at these times and go, you know what? Remember how you treated us? Remember all the shit you said? Remember how y'all were up applauding all this ignorant bullshit Donald Trump was talking about us? Remember how you guys stood in front of our mosques with guns? You remember that? You remember people going into corner stores and beating up Sikhs because they thought they were Muslim? Remember you guys leaving pig heads outside of our mosques? That's my biggest fear. That might not even affect me, but that scares me to think that as an American, that one day people might leave us high and dry because of the shit that we're doing today. Like, it's all fun and games getting on Facebook, calling people names and doing this type of shit to Muslim people. Yeah, it's fun now. It's just like right now, we're having a great old time sitting at the table, eating, laughing, drinking, throwing fucking rib bones all over the place as napkins and shit. It's all fun. But when we're all dead and gone, somebody else is going to sit down. Your grandkids, your great-great-grandkids, or just just random innocent people are going to sit down at that table with that fucking mess. And guess what? They're going to have to fucking clean it up. And is that fair to do to another generation? Is that fair? There's a show. That's a show. Thanks, everybody. Peace.